Join us now for an encouraging word from our senior pastor, Greg Thurstenson. Here's the message.
Get-togethers and the end of a three-day weekend. I believe it should be a day that every American takes a moment to recognize and honor those who gave their lives to make America what it really is today. America, it's free, it's strong, and can I tell you this morning, America is still a nation worth fighting for. Because men and women have died for this country, I think today it's important for us to ready ourselves for tomorrow. Because tomorrow, I think it's important to remember it's this day that we set aside to remember what secured for us the right to preach God's word freely. Because of tomorrow and what it represents, we have the right to live at peace in our own homes. Thirdly, because of tomorrow and what it symbolizes, we have the right to pursue peace, prosperity, and happiness. One writer said that a meaningful Memorial Day is meant to remember someone or something that we hold in high esteem. On Memorial Day, I think we should do at least three or four things. I think we should take a moment to thank God for those who died to make us free. Another thing I think we should do is pause. Pause and remember and mourn the lives who have been lost. A third thing I think we should consider doing, and not just consider but do, is be thankful for their sacrifice. And finally, I think a fourth thing that we must not fail the next generation in teaching them to do is that tomorrow we must spend some time honoring their lives. Let's take a moment and through a video see the amazing grace of others that gave us the freedoms that we celebrate today. In honor of those who have given their lives for our freedom, let us take a moment to stand and honor their lives. And as Stephen Salazar comes, let each of us stand and pay tribute to each of those that gave their lives on our behalf for lives of joy and peace. And as we stand, let us not only honor those that gave their life, but their families that continued to live after they gave that gift, the ultimate gift of their life. Stephen, tell us just a little bit about your background, when you served, and where you served.
I served in the United States Army from 2010 to 2013. deployed overseas to Afghanistan in 2012, and I was a combat medic.
Stephen, on Monday, had the wonderful privilege of attending a debriefing of the League City SWAT team that was on campus, one of the first responders to the tragedy. And as I sat there in the room, I saw that there were heroes then on battlefields across the world that gave their lives. And I see heroes daily willing to give their lives. And as I watched him minister to those men, and as I watched and listened to those men tell their story, I was thankful to God all over again at a deeper level for those who give their lives in that manner. And so as we honor them by standing, let us join Stephen now as we pray. Would you lead us, sir?
Father God, we just come humbly before you, and we just pray for the families of those who lost their loved ones. And as we stand to honor those today, I pray peace. God, I pray your grace be upon those families, God, that still are enduring such loss and such tragedy, losing sons and daughters and fathers and mothers, God. And we thank you for their sacrifice, God, that we will never we will never forget everything they've done. My brothers and sisters who are still serving overseas and around the world, God. And we just pray that this weekend will be, like Pastor said, a moment of reflection. That you would just give us a moment to see how deep of an impact soldiers have made in this world to keep our freedoms, to choose you, God, in this world, in this nation. And let us never take advantage of that. Let us never forget, Lord God, that we have the opportunity to freely express our admiration to you, God, to worship you openly. And again, we just thank you, God. We thank you for those sacrifices, God. We thank you for the love that they had for their fellow man, Lord God, that they raised their hand and made that commitment. And we just give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise today, God, because we know that it takes your love in our hearts, Lord God, to help us recognize that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can we put our hands together and be thankful for every life and every family that has given? Thank you, Stephen. You may be seated. For the next several moments, I want to talk as a congregation about something that I believe for the most part is now missing in our American culture. And that something that has become very rare in America is honor. This morning I want to speak on the subject matter of honor. At some point today, can I encourage you to pick up your phone and if you're on social media, to send out a tweet or to post something on Facebook that says that you are thankful and that you honor those who gave their lives. Honor. What should be one of the highest American honors for courage and for bravery has now given way to Those who are honorable and brave are mocked and made fun of. So just what is honor? Webster describes it as a noun, and he defines it as high respect and esteem. He uses synonyms such as distinction, recognition, privilege, glory, credit, and merit. As a verb, he describes it as to show regard with great esteem, to show respect. In a court of law, we address the judge as your honor. As scouts, we declare on my honor. With invitations like wedding invitations, we request the honor of someone's presence. Honor. I want to share a story that I came across from World War I that is filled with honor. The story is told that it was a few weeks before Christmas of 1917. The beautiful snowy landscapes of Europe were blackened by war. The trenches on one side held the Germans, and on the other side, the trenches were filled with Americans. The exchange of gunshots was intense and horrendous. Separating the two armies was a very narrow strip of what they called no man's land. It was a young German soldier attempting to cross that no man's land that had been shot and had become entangled in the barbed wire. He cried out in anguish. Then in pain, he continued to whimper. Now, between all of the shells of the Americans in that sector, Americans could actually hear him scream. When suddenly one American soldier could stand it no longer, he crawled to the enemy, that German soldier. When the Americans realized what he was doing, they stopped firing, but the Germans continued. Then a German officer realized what the young American was doing, and in honor of his bravery and courage, he ordered his men to cease firing. Now, there was a weird silence across the no man's land. On his stomach, the American made his way to that German soldier and disentangled him. He stood up with the German in his arms, put him over his back, walked straight to the German trenches, and placed him in the waiting arms of his comrades. Having done so, the American turned his back on his enemy and on the trenches of the Germans and started walking back to the American trenches. Suddenly, there was a hand on his shoulder that spun him around, and there stood before the American a German officer who had won the Iron Cross. The Iron Cross is the highest German honor for bravery. That officer jerked that Iron Cross from his uniform, and he placed it on the American, who walked back to the American trenches. Only when he was safely in the trenches did they resume the insanity of war. You see, that German soldier was thankful for that American soldier's sacrifice, and in that moment gave him honor. Honor. One author says this, that it refers to manifest respect. It is an attitude expressed in an act. We respect people privately, but we can only honor them publicly. When artists conclude a magnificent performance, we usually honor them with a standing ovation. When pastors conclude with a powerful message, we usually stand and honor them with a standing ovation. I'm sorry. I might need my glasses here. Oh, no, that's what it said. When a dignitary enters the room, we rise to our feet and we show honor. I want to pause today and tell you, it's become a national media sport to criticize and disrespect authority, the value of human life, our nation's heroes, and our sacred institutions. In this day and time, you can say anything about anyone at any time without any repercussions. And it doesn't even have to be true. Movies like Bad Moms Christmas and Daddy's Home 2 make parents out to be obnoxious perverts and idiots. That's why, my friend, this morning, I must stand in this pulpit and tell you that's a far cry from what the Bible has to say about honor. This morning, I plan to share with you now seven areas in your life that Scripture teaches to honor. The first is, according to Scripture, we are to honor God. In a world that blasphemes God on a regular basis, we still must honor God. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12 says, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30 says, "Those who honor me, I will honor." Can I tell you that it's what you honor that you attract? If you give honor to God, then God will honor you with His presence and His power. See, we honor God daily by courageously preaching and practicing the gospel and scriptural standards such as obedience, worship, and cheerfully giving of our finances. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9 says to honor the Lord. It says to honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. So this morning, can I remind us to, number one, honor God. The second thing that I want to remind you to honor in your life is to honor governing authorities. Let's say that together. Honor governing authorities. While late-night comics and social media make a living out of mocking and making fun of elected officials, how many of you know that God commands us to honor all people? Just because something is trendy and fashionable and popular does not make it scriptural. 1 Peter chapter 2 says in verse 17, to honor all men, to love the brotherhood, to fear God, and to honor the king. 1 Peter chapter 2 says in verse 17, to honor all men, to love the brotherhood, to fear God, to honor the king. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 17 says to honor all men, to love the brotherhood, to fear God, to honor the king. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 17 says to honor all men, Republican or Democrat, independent or Tea Party, white or black, a man of color or a man of many colors. Scripture says, honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Turn to your neighbor and ask him, what don't you understand about honoring all men? Some of you are just giggling and laughing. Some of you are looking at me like, no, because that just makes the sermon longer. What makes it longer is when there's no studio participation. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. Now, what's interesting about this passage of Scripture is its context. This was written when Nero, a very wicked, very vicious, very ungodly leader, was ruler. And yet, God's word says to honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. Romans 13, the first seven verses warns us that dishonoring God and His rulers bring about judgment. So today, let us honor God, and let us honor God by honoring our governing authorities. Number three, a third area in your life you'd be wise to honor is to honor your parents. I think my microphone cut out. The third area is to honor your parents. Where's my parents this morning? Exodus 20 says in verse 12, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Can I tell you, I took a moment as a teenager to dishonor my mother and I spoke back to her. And can I tell you what my dad did in that next moment? Shortened my life. Ephesians 6 says it this way in verses 1 through 3 in the Message translation. Children, do what your parents tell you, because if you don't, your children will grow up and repeat your behavior. No, I kind of took that out of context. Or did I? How many of your children didn't get it till they got some kids? And suddenly you weren't quite the villain they thought you were. Children, do what your parents tell you. This is only right. Honor your father and mother is the first commandment that has promise attached to it. Namely, so you will live well and have a long life. Do you want things to go well in your life? Do you want to live a blessed, long life? Then don't first look to Botox and holistic foods, but look to applying God's principle of honoring your parents. Well, Pastor, you don't know my parents. If you knew my parents, if you knew the governing authorities in this community like I know them, then you wouldn't be preaching this message. Can I pause and tell you, it's not me preaching this message, it's God's word preaching this message. And he says to honor God, honor governing authorities, and to honor your parents. And if you cannot honor them as a person because in some way they've disqualified themselves, then honor their position. So let us, as a nation, return to honoring God, honoring governing authority, and honoring our parents. The fourth area is to honor your spouse. That too can lead to a longer life. Our pop culture, it loves to criticize and condemn God, the principles in His Word, and the sacred institution of marriage. In this society, people casually divorce, fornicate, cohabitate, brazenly commit adultery, and endorse homosexual unions. A good example was the day that I thought I would never see in my life. And that was the day when the media around the world trumpeted the White House in Washington being lit up in rainbow colors. It was done in honor and celebration of same-sex marriages. Can I remind you that God is very clear in His Word? Hebrews 13 and verse 4 says that marriage is to be honored among everyone and the bed undefiled. But God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterers. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, be good husbands to your wives. Honor them. Delight in them. As women, they lack some of your advantages, but in the new life of God's grace, you're equals. Treat your wives then as equals so your prayers don't run aground. This morning, let's be reminded in the face of sacrifice, of freedom that cost many their entire life, let's remember to honor our spouse, our God, they're not the same thing, our authority, and our parents. Another thing that I was taught that Scripture teaches is to honor the aged or to honor the elderly. Did you know that God tells us to honor them? Leviticus says in chapter 19 and verse 32, you shall rise up before a gray head and honor the face of an old man. Sadly, euthanasia and assisted physician suicides are becoming more and more common. What's also becoming more and more common is that many families are taking elderly parents, checking them into nursing homes, and then leaving them there alone to spend the remaining days. Statistics are now telling us that the elderly that have been abandoned go downhill much quicker because they died not by a disease, but by the disease of a broken heart. So this morning, let us honor our spouse, our God, our governing authority, our parents, and our elderly. The sixth thing that I want us to honor, and how many of you were thinking when I said seven, it might be 7 o'clock. You heard me say we're going to talk about seven areas to serve and honor, and you thought it's going to be 7 o'clock before that man gets through seven of anything. And how many of you know this morning you'd be wrong? And yet some of you are looking at me like, we ain't out yet. And because you use the word ain't, my mom is going to be in the lobby and wash your mouth out after service. No, she's not. It'll be in my office. So number six, honor church leaders. 1 Timothy chapter 5 says in verse 17, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Again, can I remind you that not every person that stands in a position of authority as a person have earned the right to be honored. Maybe they've done many, many things to disqualify themselves, but they're still in the position. So in life, we can't just go around being selective as to what scriptures we want to use when and where. We must use God's word that does not return void, that was the same yesterday, today, and forever, to guard and to guide our lives. So what I'm asking of you in this scripture is to look in terms of what scripture asks of you. Scripture asks of you to honor church elders, church leaders. 1 Timothy 5 and 17 again says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Now that doesn't mean that you have to come and give an offering and give double. Sadly, many of God's scriptures have been misinterpreted and misapplied for selfish gain. I am not here to take an offering. I am here only to offer unto you what scripture says. One of the ways, or a couple of the ways, that you show double honor to elders that rule well is that you pray for them. Do you know this is the first time in my whole life I've ever been a pastor? This is my first life, my only life. This is my only job. It's my full-time gig. It's the first time I've ever done it. And so I'm going to make some mistakes along the way. And even in the middle of that, I'm human and I'm not going to be perfect. Pray for me. Pray for us. It's showing double honor. Follow your leadership. Not blindly, but scripturally. Follow their lead as they follow God. Remain loyal, faithful, and serve with joy. Well, this is going over well, I see. One of the ways we honor the God we don't see is that we honor the spiritual leaders that we do see. There's been this message of God's joy this morning. And about halfway through worship, I looked at Shane McGallion and I said, go tell Joy Tochi she's going to pray in just a moment and she's going to release the word of the Lord to the congregation today. So you may have been wondering what that high-level talk and chit-chat over in the youth section was between me and Shane. What I've known about Joy is that whoever named her that, she was named according to the word of the Lord. Because it's a woman of God, a warrior of God. How many of you felt like when she was standing on the stage, that's not just a woman of God, that's a warrior of God. And if she's here to tell us it's time to be joyful, I'm not standing in her way. It's a stick up, I'm here, I'll have joy, even if it hurts. Yes. You can't release something that you're not. You can't be something you haven't been. And one of the most powerful ways that you can honor spiritual leadership is by serving joyfully, loyally, and faithfully. And finally, as we're honoring the different aspects of life that Scripture asks of us, we honor one another. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, oh, man. You know, sometimes reading Scripture is dangerous. Because sometimes it's no longer for the person that you keep trying to change. It's for you, the one the Holy Spirit is trying to change. See, we are in a society of being very quick to see what everybody else is not doing right. And a little bit slower to see what we're missing. But Scripture says, and this is one of those passages of Scripture that really comes home. It says in Romans 12 and verse 10, be devoted to one another in love. There's a thought. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. You ever tried to honor someone in traffic? Recently, I thought I would try that. To honor people. And I was close to our house, and it's a four-way stop, and we kind of all arrived together at the same time. And it got uncomfortable because everybody was trying to honor each other. Everybody was like, go ahead, go ahead. And I'm like, okay. And so the car over here thought that they were supposed to go first, and then I thought I was supposed to go first. And it was like a slow motion head-on collision from all four directions because we were all trying to honor each other. We almost became one. And in that simple, silly illustration, I think there's a really powerful dynamic of when you honor, you have head-on connections and collisions that bring us together and make us one. Maybe the thing missing in your marriage is honor. Maybe the thing missing with your children is honor. As a young husband, I'll never forget going to a Promise Keepers meeting, and Ed Cole talked about honor. That your children will learn more about marriage from watching how you honor your wife than anything else they'll ever see or read. So honor your wife. And I remember men getting in circles, and I remember us praying and crying and asking the Lord to forgive us where we had fallen short of honor. Today, let's honor everyone. Scripture says to honor one another above yourselves. And nowhere does that live itself out more than at home. Again, maybe that's where something's missing in our marriage. Scripture's pretty clear about not just honoring one another, but honoring your spouse. And let's give to the next generation something to look forward to. Let's give them something to grow up and think, man, someday I want to get married. I want to be the royal couple. I want to be the one that takes front and center stage, and I want to live out this thing called marriage like my parents did. I love how the Message translation treats this passage of Scripture. It says to love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run the dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. I close this morning with a couple of statements. The first of which is, all of us have a God-given need to be respected. All of us do. Aretha Franklin, how many of you remember her? My wife, when she sings, sounds a whole lot like Aretha Franklin. But did you know that she was a pastor's daughter? Do you remember her song? R-E-S-P-E-C-T. And because I don't listen to secular music, I don't know where we're going here. I just know the song was spelled out, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. And who'll ever forget the comedian Rodney Dangerfield? He made a whole living on not getting any respect. So here's the deal. Against the very dark, bleak backdrop of a declining culture that's desperately in need of a spiritual awakening, I believe that God is raising up a generation that is restoring the principle of honor in homes, in churches, and in public places. And that America's not nearly as lost as the media would like us to believe. Because I once was lost. You once was lost, but now you are found. Today, can you stand to your feet as found people? And can you just begin to let everything in you that has a breath show R-E-S-P-E-C-T? Can you show some honor to God who gave His life that you might have freedom abundantly and eternally, that when it comes time for you to go home, you're going to go home to be with the Lord, and once you are going to split hell wide open, but then you met Jesus, and you know with confidence that because of J-E-S-U-S, you're going to open up the pearly gates of heaven, and even the angels are going to say, Jesus must be God. If He can save a wretch like him and a wretch like her, Jesus can save anybody. Would somebody just celebrate our God? So, Heavenly Father, as we get ready to go, show us, we give you permission to show us how to honor you. Show us how to honor governing authorities, our parents, the elderly, our spouse, our church leaders. And oh God, let it be said of each of us that we left a legacy of honoring one another. God, I give you permission to show me and make some mid-course adjustments in my life that I might be part of a remnant that brings honor back to the United States of America, the greatest nation in the world. I declare this day we are one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And all of the brothers and sisters in the house said, amen. I'm finished. Run for the door, bullseye. Or whatever his... It was a Toy Story quote that I got wrong by.
This concludes the message. For prayer or more information, email prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call 281-554-3600. Thank you for listening.